ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகும் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவீனாம் உபமஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஸ்ரண்வன்னோதி விஸ்ஸீத சாதனம். ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ. ஓம் சுக்லாம்பரதரம் விஷ்ணும் சசிவர்ணம் சதுர்புஜம் பிரசன்னவதனம் த்யாயேத் சர்வவிக்னோபசாந்தயே கஜானனம் பூதகணாதிசேவிதம் கபித்தஜம்பூஃபலசாரபக்ஷிதம் உமாசுதம் சோகவிநாசகாரணம் நமாமி விக்னேஸ்வர பாத பங்கஜம். ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ. ஓம் பத்ரம் கண்ணே விஷ்ணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுவாகம்சஸ்தனோபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதையதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஶ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓம் நமஸ்தே கணபதயே த்வமேவ ப்ரத்யக்ஷம் தத்வமசி த்வமேவ கேவலம் கர்த்தாசி த்வமேவ கேவலம் தர்த்தாசி த்வமேவ கேவலம் ஹர்த்தாசி த்வமேவ சர்வம் கல்விதம் ப்ரஹ்மாசி த்வம் சாக்ஷாதாத்மாசி நித்யம் ருதம் வச்மி சத்யம் வச்மி அவத்வம் மாம் அவவக்தாரம் அவஸ்ரோதாரம் அவதாதாரம் அவதாதாரம் அவானோசானம் அவசிஷ்யம் அவபஷ்சாத்தாத் அவபுரஸ்தாத் அவோத்தராத்தாத் அவதக்ஷிணாத்தாத் அவசோத்வாத்தாத் அவாதராத்தாத் சர்வதோ மாம் பாஹி பாஹி சமந்தாத் சர்வதோ மாம் பாஹி பாஹி சமந்தாத் சர்வதோ மாம் பாஹி பாஹி சமந்தாத் த்வம் வாங்மயஸ்த்வம் சின்மயஹ த்வமானந்தமயஸ்த்வம் ப்ரஹ்மமயஹ த்வம் சச்சிதானந்தாத்விதீயோசி த்வம் ப்ரத்யக்ஷம் ப்ரஹ்மாசி த்வம் ஞானமயோ விஜ்ஞானமயோசி சர்வம் ஜகதிதம் த்வத்தோ ஜாயதே சர்வம் ஜகதிதம் த்வத்தஸ்திஷ்டதி சர்வம் ஜகதிதம் த்வயி லயமேஷ்யதி சர்வம் ஜகதிதம் த்வயி ப்ரத்யேதி த்வம் பூமிராபோ நலோ நிலோ நபஹ த்வம் சத்வாரி வாக்பதானி த்வம் குணத்ரயாதீதஹ த்வம் அவஸ்தாத்ரயாதீதஹ த்வம் தேஹத்ரயாதீதஹ த்வம் காலத்ரயாதீதஹ த்வம் மூலாதாரஸ்திதோசி நித்யம் த்வம் சக்தித்ரயாத்மகஹ த்வாம் யோகினோ த்யாயந்தி நித்யம் த்வம் ப்ரஹ்மா த்வம் விஷ்ணுஸ்த்வம் ருத்ரஸ்த்வமிந்திரஸ்த்வம் அக்னிஸ்த்வம் வாயுஸ்த்வம் சூரஸ்த்வம் சந்திரமாஸ்த்வம் ப்ரஹ்ம பூர்புவஸ்வரோம். கணாதிம் பூர்வமுச்சார்ய வர்ணாதிம் ததனந்தரம் அனுஸ்வார பரதரஹ அர்த்தேந்துலசிதம் தாரேண ருத்தம் ஏதத் தவமனுஸ்வரூபம் ககார பூர்வரூபம் அகாரோ மத்யமரூபம் అనుస్వారశ్చ అంత్యరూపం బిందురుత్తర రూపం నాద సంధానం సంహితా సంధిః సైషా గణేశ విద్యా గణక ఋషిః నిచృద్ గాయత్రీ ఛందః గణపతిర్దేవత ఓం గం గణపతయే నమః ఓం గం గణపతయే నమః ఓం గం గణపతయే నమః ఓం ఏకదంతాయ విద్మహే వక్రతుండాయ ధీమహి తన్నో దంతిః ప్రచోదయాత్ ఏకదంతం చతుర్హస్తం పాశమంకుశధారిణం రథం చ వరదం హస్తైర్బిభ్రాణం మోషకధ్వజం రక్తం లంబోదరం శూర్పకర్ణకం రక్తవాససం రక్తగంధానులిప్తాంగం రక్తపుష్పైః సుపూజితం భక్తానుకంపినం దేవం జగత్కారణమచ్యుతం ఆవిర్భూతం చ సృష్ట్యాదౌ ప్రకృతే పురుషాత్పరం ఏవం ధ్యాయతి యో నిత్యం సయోగీ యోగినాం వరః ఓం నమో రాతపతయే నమో గణపతయే నమః ప్రమథపతయే నమస్తేస్తు లంబోదరాయ ఏకదంతాయ విఘ్ననాశినే శివసుతాయ శ్రీవరదమూర్తయే నమో నమః ఓం శ్రీమన్మహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. ఓం యశ్చందసాం ఋషభో విశ్వరూపః ఛందోభ్యోధ్యమృతాత్ సంబభూవ సమేంద్రో మేధయా స్పృణోతు అమృతస్య దేవధారణో భూయాసం శరీరం మే విచర్షణం జిహ్వా మే మధుమత్తమా కర్ణాభ్యాం భూరి విశ్రువం బ్రహ్మణ కోశోసి మేధయా పీతః శ్రుతం మే గోపాయ. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. ఓం మేధాదేవీ జుషమాణాన ఆగాత్ విశ్వాచీ భద్రా సుమనస్యమానా త్వయా జుష్టానుదమానా దురుక్తాన్ బృహద్వదేమ విదథే సువీరాః. త్వయా జుష్ట ఋషిర్భవతి దేవి త్వయా బ్రహ్మాగత శ్రీరుత త్వయా త్వయా జుష్టశ్చిత్రం విందతే వసుసానో జుషస్వద్రవిణో న మేధే. మేధాం మ ఇంద్రో దదాతు మేధాం దేవీ సరస్వతీ. మేధాం మే అశ్వినా ఉభావాధత్తాం పుష్కరస్రజా. అప్సరాసు చయా మేధా గంధర్వేషు చయన్మనః. దైవీ మేధా సరస్వతీ సామా మేధా సురభిర్జుషతాం. ఆమా మేధా సురభిర్విశ్వరూపా హిరణ్యవర్ణా జగతీ జగమ్యా. ఊర్జస్వతీ పయసా పిన్వమానా సామా మేధా సుప్రతీకా జుషంతాం. మయి మేధా మయి ప్రజా మయి అగ్నస్తేజో దదాతు. మయి మేధా మయి ప్రజా మయీంద్ర ఇంద్రియం దదాతు. మయి మేధా మయి ప్రజా మయి సూర్యో భ్రాజో దదాతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. ఓం హరిః ఓం తత్సత్. శ్రీగురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. ఓం సదాశివసమారంభాం వ్యాసశంకరమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురుపరంపరాం. శ్రుతిస్మృతిపురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదశంకరం లోకశంకరం. శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం. సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః. ఓం హరిః ఓం తత్సత్. శ్రీగురుభ్యో నమః. हरिः ओम। As I said, this Isha Upanishad or this Ishavasya Upanishad is a Shukla Yajurvediya Upanishad. It belongs to Shukla Yajurveda. And the Shukla Yajurveda Shanti Mantra is the Purnamadaha Purnamidam Mantra. Let us begin the class with the Purnamada Mantra. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. You have to remember carefully again, all the swaras are only Anudatta and Udatta, no Swarita. Om Po, this is for the new people. Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. The purpose of beginning the class, any study, with a peace invocation called Shanti Pataha is very well known to you. But still, it's sampradaya, we have to see the meaning of the Shanti Mantra, Shanti Pataha. We call it Shanti Pataha mainly because we end this Shanti Pata saying Shantihi three times. Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Here we say, elsewhere we say Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Shantihi is a Ikaranta Strilinga Shabdaha, a feminine gender word, which means peace. Peace implies being free from all forms of obstacles which cause pain. Obstacle in anything, impediment in anything causes pain. Is pain, impediment is pain, hindrance is pain, an obstacle is pain, isn't it? So if there is an obstacle, there is pain means there is disturbance, there is turbulence, there is turmoil, there is no peace. So when you say this, here we invoke the peace, so it's a peace invocation, which means for the peace to be there, there should not be any obstacle, there should not be any pain at all, no disturbance, for which there should not be any obstacle. And here, when our shastram, when they analyzed thoroughly, what can be an obstacle? Where can be an obstacle rise from? What can be the source of obstacle? Because obstacles are so many, so many obstacles. You can't even count. So many obstacles will be there. So you can't say, you can't pray, you know, to ward off every small obstacle. Instead, you find out the sources of obstacle. Sources, you know, the obstacles, the from where the obstacles rise. In that way they found out very clearly there are only three sources of obstacles. There is no fourth source of obstacle. We have to be very clear about it. Should not have any doubt about it. Is there a fourth source of obstacle? No. There are only three sources of obstacles. So the first source of obstacle will be you yourself. One's own self will be a source of obstacle. Obstacle, especially, so obstacle can be in accomplishing anything, in any endeavor, especially in pursuit of knowledge also, there'll be obstacles. Mainly there'll be obstacles. And yet how can I myself can become a source of obstacle? If I am physically ill or if I am mentally disturbed, some situation can cause my own mental disturbance, there is some reason which caused my mental disturbance or my own physical illness can become an impediment for me, can prevent me from attending the class, or even if I come and sit in the class, I may not be able to listen and understand. I may not be able to focus because of my mental discomfort and physical discomfort. Therefore, I myself can become a source of obstacle. So when you yourself can become a source of obstacle, and then also there's a pain, and that pain caused is called what? Adhyatmika tapaha. Pain pertaining to one's own self. It's called Adhyatmika tapaha. I explained last time when I came here also, I explained the same thing. Tapaha literally means heat. Atapaha means heat. Tapaha means heat. And the heat can scorch and burn, you know, cause pain. Similarly, here the emotional pain caused by one's physical or mental discomfort also can scorch the mind, can haunt the mind, torment the mind. That is why pain is also likened to the heat here, tapaha. It is implied by the word tapaha. So the pain caused by the obstacles arising from, you know, obstacles for which one's own self is the source, then we call it adhyatmika tapaha, main. Suppose even if you are fine, you are not the source of obstacle, but still anybody else other than you, anything else other than you, associate, your own associates or accompaniments or friends or relatives, people in the family, anybody else or anything else becomes a source of obstacle, which also can become and which also can prevent you from being comfortable in the class, which also can prevent you from being attentive, then we call, then also there is a pain. So pain caused by obstacles arising from another source other than yourself is called Adi Bhautika Tapaha. It is not a new lesson, I know very well. Adhyatmika tapaha, Adi Bhautika tapaha. Now we have Adi Daivika tapaha. It is neither you nor anybody else other than you associated with you, but the natural calamities. We had floods in Uttarakhand. You know, lots of programs got affected. There, like tsunami came, earthquake happened, or sudden rains. It need not have big calamities like that. Even sudden rains, you know, everywhere traffic. A heavy snowfall, any small, even half an hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, sudden natural calamity, sudden natural happening can happen, and it can cause a lot of obstacles, become a big impediment. So such so pain, the tapaha, pain caused by obstacles arising from, you know, the natural calamities, it's called Adi Daivika Tapaha. Of these, the pain is the same, but pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources. We have sometimes these obstacles are non-predictable. Non-predictable, they are non-controllable also. Even if they are predictable, suppose the weathercast can, you know, the forecasting of the weather, no, they came predictable but still uncontrollable. Which means we do not have say over certain situations. Only when you understand your utter helplessness, that you do not have say over what is non-predictable and what is non-controllable. And even if it is predictable, it is uncontrollable, then you only seek help. When you seek help means you pray, you invoke the grace. So here also, when you say before, you thoughtfully, attentively, thoughtfully, we do this chanti mantras, because we mean what we really say. We don't mechanically chant. May there not be any pain at all caused by any obstacle arising from any of these three different sources. This is the implication of chanting Om Shanti, 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 three times. So to ward off all forms of obstacles arising from three different sources, we say Shanti three times. When you chant Shanti also three times, even though Shanti is a complete word, when you chant them together, you have to say Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Visarga, no, you have to take care of that sandhi. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. When you chant, you don't say Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. No. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. And here when you say chant Purnamadaha, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. And this particular Shanti mantra, the Purnamadaha, has no commentary by Adishankar Bhagavatpada as a Shanti mantra. But the same mantra, the Purnamadaha, the same mantra comes as a part of the Upanishad in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in the 5th chapter. So the So there was a commentary by Adishankara Bhagavatpada. So we have to take that commentary to understand the meaning of the mantra here. As I said earlier, this Ishavasyopanishad is a mantropanishad, and any mantropanishad will have a Brahmanopanishad as its commentary. And this Ishavasyopanishad has, as a mantropanishad, Brihadaranyaka as the elaborate commentary. That is why in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the same Shanti Mantra comes, you know, in the fifth chapter. The first mantra of the fifth chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is Purnamadaha Purnamidam. So this commentary, we have to say, take the commentary on that mantra to understand here this Shanti Mantra. As a Shanti Mantra here. If we take Om, Om, like any Shanti Mantra begins with Omkara, even though if you know this already, my saying now to you and you are hearing this now itself is a yajna. It's worship. That's why I just repeat it. Om, any mantra begins with Omkaraha, because you cannot begin any mantra by saying anything. You cannot make any mantra more auspicious, anything else. To make any mantra the most auspicious, you have to begin mantra with Omkara. There's no greater auspicious sound than Omkara. Therefore, we begin the mantra with Omkara. And as you all know very well, Om itself, you know, if you take Mandukya Upanishad, the Prathama, the first chapter, you understand how elaborately Omkara is discussed there. Omkara is a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. When we invoke the grace of the Lord, when you need to worship the Lord or pray to the Lord, we have an altar for the Lord, the whole. Because in worshipping, in praying, you need to relate to the Lord. And to relate to the Lord, you need a symbol. Because Lord is the whole. Lord the whole is inclusive of you, the worshipper, the one who is praying to the Lord. So how can you, the individual who is part of the whole, who is included in Bhagavan the whole, visualize Bhagavan or see, no, Bhagavan? This is difficult. It's impossible for the mind, tiny mind, which is part of the whole, to visualize Bhagavan. Isn't it? That is why you need an altar, need a symbol which represents Bhagavan. That's why we can have any one form and which has limbs and wherein we invoke the grace of the Lord. So form with the limbs is called Savayava Murtihi. Avayava Sahita Murtihi. Avayava Sahita Murtihi. Avayava Sahita Murtihi. Savayava Murtihi. A form with the limbs is called Pratima. Any form. That's why you have so many forms in Vedic culture. You know, in even the Vedic period we did not have forms. But later on, the forms of worship which are based on the Vedic vision introduced a lot of forms. Any form, any altar which stands for, symbolizes the Lord, the whole. If it has limbs, it's called a pratima. If a form does not have limbs, it is called a pratika. Niravayava murtihi pratika. Like Shivalingam, like we have Shalagrama, they're all pratikas. A form without limbs. Pratika. Form with the limbs also can be an altar. A form without limbs also can be an altar. And here, what about Om? It is not even a form symbol. Neither a form with the limbs, nor is it a form without limbs. It is not a form symbol. It's a sound symbol. It's a form of symbol, but it is a sound symbol. Om is sound symbol. That is why in drawing and keeping Omkara, isn't it? If you draw, it becomes a form, isn't it? If you write it. So Om is a sound symbol. So sound symbol also is a pratika. So Om stands for the whole, the Lord Bhagavan, the end manifestation in its entirety is symbolized by Om. And it's very beautiful here to know the meaning of this Om. If at all you have experience, where does the world exist for you? The world does not exist outside of your experience, isn't it? The world is what? In your experience. If there's no experience, if you do not have any experience, there's no world for you. Isn't it true? The world is an experience. Therefore, this word is experience means, we say in waking, there is a state, waking is a state of mind which is a state of experience. Only during that experience you have this gross universe. This gross universe exists for you only in your waking state. Isn't it true? This same gross universe is not there for you when you fall asleep. Again, from sleep, if you are awake to a subtle universe projected by your own thoughts, you have only dream universe. You do not have all the three states of experience simultaneously. We call them three different states of experience. And each state of experience is each state of mind. They cannot be together simultaneously. One has to go for the other to be there. That is why they are always discontinuous and mutually exclusive. Isn't it? So each state of experience is what? A jagat. We say, vyakta prapanchaha, the gross manifest universe. Is in experience. The experience is not outside of the experiencer. Therefore, that universe is the gross universe experienced during the waking state is Bhagavan, manifestation of Bhagavan. Again, the subtle universe experienced also is what? Not outside of Bhagavan. It's also subtle manifestation. It's also Ishvara, the Lord. When subtle and gross, both universes, not experienced, Then when we call them the unmanifest, subtle universe also is unmanifest, gross universe also is unmanifest, in deep sleep state. The universe unmanifest also is what? Unmanifest also does not have existence outside of the Lord. Unmanifest universe also is the Lord. The subtle manifestation also is the Lord. Gross manifestation also is the Lord. The only Lord, appearing as the manifest universe and the unmanifest universe, remaining as the unmanifest universe. There is no universe other than Ishvara, manifest or unmanifest. Universe, subtle or gross, manifest or unmanifest, anything is Ishvara. No? Therefore, as we say, if we take this Omkaraha, and it consists of three sounds, Akaraha, Ukaraha, Makaraha. And this Makara is followed by silence. Omkaraha consists of two parts, sound part and silence part. Akara, Ukara, Makara, three sounds, sound part, the silence following the Makara, silence part of Omkara. We never take into account silence. Silence is part of Omkara. Om, Om, Om. When you say that Om consists of three sounds, Akara, Ukara, Makara, two syllables and two vowels and one consonant, actually it's one syllable, it's a monosyllabic sound. And that silence following Makara, it's another part. So this Akara stands for gross manifestation, which is Ishvara. Ukara stands for subtle manifestation, which also Ishvara. And Makara stands for the unmanifest universe, which also Ishvara. The manifest becomes unmanifest, unmanifest again becomes manifest. This constantly happens. That is why we say Jagat comes and goes. Jayate gacchati iti Jagat. That which keeps coming and going is universe. Means what? Becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. Unmanifest becomes manifest, the manifest becomes unmanifest. So the gross, subtle and unmanifest universes. Akara, Ukara, Makara stand for these three worlds. And the silence which follows Makara stands for the reality, the consciousness. Which is the same in all three states of experience. It continues to be there. That is why one sound stands for the whole. The entire experience in its entirety. Waking, dream and deep sleep state. States of experience. All three states of experiences. There is no experience outside of Ishvara. There is no experiencer other than Ishvara. There is no experience outside of Ishvara. There is no experienced universe outside of Ishvara. The experienced universe is Ishvara. The experience is Ishvara. The experiencer is also Ishvara. Everything, all that is here is the Lord. Om stands for this whole. That is why Omkaraha is known as Pranavaha. Pranavaha. Why is it called Pranavaha? I don't know whether I told you last time here. If you take Navaha, take this dental nakara. Navaha. Navaha means Nama. Nama means name. Tom is one Navaha. Petros, Navaha. Navaha is a Nama. But you change it, you add that prefix of pra, the dental nakara becomes cerebral nakara. Pranavaha. Navaha becomes Pranavaha. So one name is one word which can indicate only one object. Isn't it? So each object needs one Navaha. One Navaha, one name, one word can indicate only one given object. Mic means indicate only one object. But if at all there is one word which can stand, which can indicate all the objects, the world of objects in its entirety. It is a very special name, isn't it? A unique word. A special word, which one, why it is a unique word? So the Pranavaha means a unique name. Navaha is a simple name. Pranavaha is a unique name, a unique term. Why? A term can indicate only one object, but this Pranavaha, Omkaraha, is a unique term. Why? Because the one Om indicates the world of objects in its entirety. It stands for all the objects. That is why Pranavaha. Unique. Pranavaha means unique term, unique name. The one term which stands for all the objects, which indicates all the objects. Therefore, Om stands for Bhagavan, the whole, the sound symbol of the Lord. This is one meaning. Another meaning also is there. This also I told you last time. The world is nothing but objects, all the objects put together. The known. Even if there is something unknown, unknown also is what? Will become the known after knowledge. Therefore, we don't take anything known, unknown also comes under the category of the known. Because unknown will become the known, can become the known after knowledge. Therefore, known is what? An object, isn't it? The whole world which comes under the category of the known is constituted of innumerably countless objects indicated by innumerably countless words. And what are these objects are indicated by words, and any word indicating any object of any language is nothing but is sounds, many sounds put together. And the sounds are nothing but vowels and consonants, and vowels and consonants are sounds which emerge only between guttural and the lips. Therefore, a is a guttural, m is a labial. And any vowel, any consonant sound of any language cannot arise anywhere other apart from this part, isn't it? Therefore, a, u, m is guttural and labial. included in this ukara, three sounds stand for all the possible sounds that can be made, can be pronounced, that can emerge. All the sounds stand for all the words of all the languages. All the words, understand, stand for all the objects indicated by the words. All the objects constitute the whole. Isn't it? It's inexplicably, incomprehensibly vast universe. So, Om is like A is equal to B, B is equal to C, C is equal to D, D is equal to E. You can say A is equal to E. Let it here, Om stands for all the sounds, vowels and consonants. All the vowels and consonants, all the sounds stand for all the words of any language, all the languages. All the words stand for all the objects. Objects stand, no, stand for what? Actually, constitute the whole universe. Therefore, Om stands for the whole. Om means the whole. Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, the Lord. That is why Om is a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. That's the reason any mantra is begin with the Omkaraha. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam. If you take this mantra, Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. First quarter of the mantra, if you take Purnamadav Purnamidam, stop there. It's a Mahavakyam. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. Take only quarter of the mantra, it's a Mahavakyam. How do you say Mahavakyam? This quarter of the mantra reveals the identity between the individual and the total. The microcosm and the macrocosm. It reveals the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. Just a quarter mantra. Purnamadaha Purnamidam. Purnam means infinite, complete, fullness. Purnam means complete, infinite. Adaha. Adaha means tad, that. So, adaha stands for paroksha ishwaraha. Paroksha tattva. Adaha means stands for the Lord, the whole. Paramatma. Adaha stands for pada paramatma. So, adaha purnam. Purnam adaha means Ishwaraha purnaha. The Lord is infinite. The Lord is complete. The swarupam of the Lord is fullness, complete, infinitude. Ishwaraha Purnaha means the Lord is infinite. That's a statement. Adaha, Purnam Adaha. Now, Purnam Idam. So again, Purnam means what? Purnam again is infinite. Idam is a pronoun, a third person singular pronoun, Idam also. But it means this. So, idam stands for nearest this, what is the nearest this? When you say idam, idam you generally stands for, it's a third person singular pronoun. Adaha, that. Idam, this, isn't it? This means you come, what is the nearest this? Nearest this is self. Therefore, idam stands for tvam. Tvam means you. The truth of the individual. Individual I. Idam stands for I, or you can say you, the individual. Idam this. So, aparoksha. See, aparoksha atma is indicated by idam. Paroksha Ishvaraha is indicated by Adaha. Now I know what is BD staring at me. What is Paroksha and Aparoksha? See, to know light is, I need the eyes. To know there is somebody is speaking, I need the hearing power. To know it is warm, you know, I need this sense of touch. The instrument is required, isn't it? To have the knowledge of an object, for a given object to become evident, I need an instrument of knowledge. To know I am, do I require any instrument of knowledge? Therefore, aparoksha. Understand? Aparoksha means indeed, self-evident self is aparoksha, atma. Self is self-evident. Everything else is what? Evident to the self, isn't it? Therefore we say paroksha. So paroksha Ishvaraha, aparoksha atma. Aparoksha atma. So this idam stands for aparoksha atma. Adaha stands for paroksha. You can say idam stands for aparoksha jivaha. Adaha stands for paroksha Ishvaraha. You can say tatpada tatpada artaha. Tatpada means the pronoun tad. The word tad stands for the Lord. In Mahavakyam Tattvamasi. The pronoun tvam stands for the jiva, jivatma, the individual self. So here, adaha purnam, idam purnam, means what? That is infinite. Ishvara is infinite. And jiva is infinite. Jivaha purnaha, Ishvaraha purnaha. The individual is complete and infinite. The total also is complete and infinite. The Lord, the whole is complete and infinite. The individual, you, are also complete and infinite. Adaha purnam, idam purnam. That is infinite, you are infinite. This individual is infinite, the rest of the whole is infinite. So jiva surupam, the truth of the individual is infinite. The truth of the total is infinite. Jivatma jiva surupam is infinite. Ishvara Swarupam is infinite. So Mahavakyam. So the question comes, how can there be two infinites? Infinite means that which is free from all limitations, isn't it? So if there are two infinites, then what happens? One will limit the other. One being different from the other, one being limited by the other, isn't it? There can't be two infinite. Though here we understand, therefore, how can there be two infinite? Jivaha Purnaha, Ishraha Purnaha, Adaha Purnam, Idam Purna means. How can there be two infinites? The problem comes. So that means the only way we can understand understand this is this Jiva Swarupam, the truth of the Idam, Jiva, indicated by Idam, and the truth of Adaha, indicated by the Ishvara, indicated by the Purna Adaha. What now? Ekam Abhinnam, one and the same indivisible. Ekam Abhinnam, one and indivisible, same. Must be one and the same. The truth, Swarupa, must be the same. So, aparoksha jiva-swarupa tattvam, jiva-swarupam, paroksha iswara-swarupam must be one and the same. Must be indivisible. Only then one can say, this is infinite, that is infinite. This is means what? This jiva-swarupam is infinite, that Ishvara Swarupam is infinite. The truth of the knower is infinite. The truth of the known is also infinite. It means one and the same. If the one and the same, then how can we talk about this then? There's a difference. There are differences. What differences we have? No, first of all, Jivaha, we say this is aparokshatvam. Jiva has aparokshatvam, being the immediate self. And Ishvara is what now has parokshatvam. The parokshatvam, aparokshatvam. The difference is there between Jiva and Ishvara. Then there is, we say Jiva is little knowing, alpagyatvam, and Ishvara has sarvagyatvam. Ishvara has omniscience. Ishvara enjoys omniscience, and Jiva enjoys alpagyatvam, limited knowledge. And Ishvara enjoys sarvashaktimatvam. Ishvara, Jiva enjoys alpashaktimatvam. Ishvara, Jiva has very limited power, and Ishvara is almighty. Jiva is little mighty. So all these differences are there. Therefore, how can we say that then Jiva, Jivatma, Jivaha Purnaha, Ishvaraha Purnaha, Tat Purnam, Tvam Purnam, Tat Purnam, no? Then Tvam Purnaha. Ishvaraha Purnaha, Jivaha Purnaha, Adaha Purnam, Idam Purnam. How can we say that? Then we have to take this Swarupa. Okay, take this Swarupam, from the standpoint of this Swarupam of Jiva and Ishvara, Tat and Tvam, or Adaha and Idam, there is no difference. From the standpoint of Swarupam, the truth. The truth of the known, the truth of Ishvara, the Swarupam of Ishvara, the whole, is Purnam. And the same Chaitanyam is what? The truth of the Jivaha, indicated by the pronoun Idam. So, aparoksha Jiva Swarupam and paroksha Ishvara Swarupam is one and the same Chaitanyam, one and the same consciousness. The truth of Adaha, truth of Idam, you know, it happens to be one and the same consciousness. We can say, now what? Therefore, we can say, Jivaha Purnaha, Ishwaraha Purnaha, we can say that. Paramatma Purnaha, Jivatma Purnaha. Purnaha means infinite. Therefore, from the standpoint of the truth, there is no difference. So, when you say Jivaha, again, this is Sopadikaha, you know. So, Jiva, the Atma with Upadi, Atma with Jiva Upadi, individual body, mind, sense complex, is called what? Sopadikaha. Upadi means what? Here manifesting medium is called what? Upadi. The Atma, the consciousness with this Upadi. Upadi means body, mind, sense complex. Is Jiva Upadi. Jiva Upadi. And the same Atma with Maya Upadi. This is Ishvara Upadi. Upadis are different. The total Upadi is Ishvara. Atma with the total Upadi is Ishvara. Jiva with individual Upadi is what? Atma with individual body, mind, scope Upadi is Jivaha. So with the Upadi, Atma is known as what? Sopadhikaha. Upadi Sahitaha. Atma endowed with the Upadi. So the difference is this Sarvajnyatvam, Alpajnyatvam, this omniscience and limited knowledge, almighty, you know, all might and limited power, this difference is only in the standpoint of the Upadis. Only in the standpoint of the Upadis. So Upadi, we can understand here, with the help of example, when you say ocean and wave, the ocean name and form is an Upadi. Wave name and form also is an Upadi. Okay, the name and form becomes Upadi. Upahitam means the truth obtaining in the given form. Upahitam, the water, the H2O is Upahitam. Water, the H2O is Upahitam. The name and form wave is one Upadi. Ocean, name and form ocean is another Upadi. Is it clear now? So now difference is, now when you say wave is ocean, the difference is not from the standpoint of the Upahitam is what? One and the same water. There's no difference. The standpoint of Upadi is Nyama Rupa, there is difference. Is it clear? Similarly here also, there is the Bedaha, the difference is from the standpoint of the Upadis. The individual, for a Jiva, the body, mind, and complex is the individual Upadi. And for Ishvara, the entire, the whole, it's the Maya is the Upadi. The standpoint of Upadis, there is difference. If you remove the Upadis cognitively, intellectually remove the Upadis, remove the name and form wave intellectually, remove the name and form ocean intellectually, then see the Upahitam water, there is no difference. So Nirupadhikam Upahitam. Understand? So similarly here also, from the standpoint of, we say Adaha Idam, Adaha Purna, Purnam, Idam Purnam, Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam, if we take, there again. So from Nirupadhika Chaitanyam, from the standpoint of Nirupadhika Chaitanyam, the standpoint of pure consciousness without the upadis, without the Ishwar upadi, without Jiva upadi, without the body mind complex, without the Maya. If you see that as the truth of the whole and the individual, the standpoint of consciousness, there is no difference. Therefore, what now? The standpoint of the Swarupam, the truth, Adaha Purnam, Ishvara is infinite. Idam Purnam, the individual also is infinite. Is it clear? This is what is revealed. The standpoint of, so Nirupadikam means what? Without the Upadis. From the standpoint of, if you see, the standpoint of Upadis, then there is a difference. Say, Sopadika Jivaha, Sopadikaha Ishwaraha. If you see Ishwara as Sopadikaha, and if you see Jiva as a Sopadikaha, there is difference. With the Upadis, there is difference. From the standpoint of Upadis, there is difference. The standpoint of Upahitam, the truth, the Tattvam, the Swarupam, the reality, there is no difference. The Ekam Abhinnam. Adaha Swarupam is what? Adaha, Purna means what? The Swarupam of that Ishvara, the whole, the truth of the whole is Chaitanyam. The truth of Idam, this Jiva is also what? You know, Chaitanyam. Therefore, from the standpoint of Upahita Chaitanyam, Nirupadikam Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness without the Upadis, there is no difference whatsoever because they are one and the same indivisible consciousness. Is it clear? This is the Purnamadaha Purnam Idam. The Mahavakyam. Adaha Purnam Idam Purnam. Purnamadaha Purnam Idam. Is it clear? Purnat Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Now comes Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Udachyate means comes into existence, born out of. So Purnam, Purnat Purnam Udachyate means the infinite is born out of the infinite. Or the infinite comes into existence from infinite. What do you understand here? Infinite comes into existence from infinite. Purnat, from the Purnam, from the infinite. Purnam, the infinite. Udachyate comes into existence. Arises. Born out of, is born out of. So here you have to take what now? Sopadika. Understand? Sopadika. How can, the question comes, how can the infinite be born out of the infinite? How can infinite come into existence from infinite? Isn't it? The question comes. You can say Sopadika. Sopadika. Whenever we talk about the coming into existence, you have to think of what? The Sopadika. So he says, Sopadika means what now? With Upadi. So it's like saying there's a Mahan Akashaha. There is total space. Just as part space comes into existence from the total space, so does the, understand, so does Jiva comes into existence from Ishvara. Is it clear? Jiva, you see, Jiva is infinite, Ishvara is infinite, But you talk about now, Jiva infinite has come into existence from Ishvara infinite. How can one infinite come into existence from another infinite? We already have established what is not. Infinite is one. We can't have two infinites. So we already understood Mahavakyam. So now his Purnat Purnam Udachyate means the infinite comes into existence from the infinite means how it is like the pot space coming into existence from the total space. There you have to understand, which means pot space does not come into existence. The pot comes into existence, isn't it? The birth of the pot, coming into existence of the pot is attributed to pot space. Isn't it? Pot alone comes into existence. The pot alone is born. The birth of the pot, the coming into existence of the pot is attributed to pot space. The pot is born, we say pot space is also born. Is it clear? Similarly here, when you say Jiva, the Jiva Upadhi is born. Jiva Swarupam is not born. Is it clear?
Yes.
The truth of the Jiva is not born. Jiva Swarupam is not born. The truth of the individual is not born. The in an individual body is born, isn't it? So birth of the individual body is attributed to the birth of the individual sarup of the truth. Is it clear? Therefore, Purnat Purnam Udachyate means it is not possible for infinite to come into existence from infinite. Infinite cannot come into existence. Why? Infinite is timeless, eternal. What you can call it infinite? Infinite is that which is eternal. Time is limitless. So how can infinite come into existence first of all? That is from infinite. And if infinite has to come into existence from infinite, does the infinite undergo change or what? No. Without undergoing a change, infinite remaining what it is, still infinite comes into existence. Infinite is born. Udachyate. No. You know what? Sopadika. Understand? So, Sopadika Ishvarate. Sopadikaha Jivaha Udachyate. Okay? From Sopadika, from Ishvara, the Atma with Ishvara Upadhi, this Jiva with Jiva Upadhi is born. Like what? Like pot space is born out of total space. Really speaking, there is no such a thing called birth of pot space at all. There is no pot space at all. There is only space. But birth of the pot is attributed to the pot space. And it is said pot space is born out of total space. Similarly here, Purna Ishwarat Purna Jivaha Udachyate. Purna Ishwarate Purna Jivaha Udachyate. Sopa Purna Sopadika Ishwarate Purna Sopadika Jivaha Udachyate. Understand? Therefore, birth of the Upadhi is attributed to the Upahita Chaitanyam. Got Upahitam, Upadhi, all these terms must be very familiar with. Otherwise you will find it difficult to understand the class. Is it clear? Upahitam, Upadhihi. So Purnat Purnam Udachyate. See, the space, total space, and we talk about the pot space. Really speaking, there is no such thing called pot space. There's just a space. And you, in a space, you bring a new pot, buy a new pot and put it there. And you say, what now? Pot space. Okay, pot occupies a given space. You say pot space. Inside the pot, there's a space. Pot space. Pot space is small, room space is big. And you compare also. That is big, this is small. More spacious, not spacious. Big space, small space. Is there such thing called big space and small space? There's only one space. And why do you add adjectives to the space, big and small? Because you're comparing. You're comparing with what? Comparing the space obtaining is within pot, the space obtaining within four walls the room. Is it clear? And here the space is upahitam. The room is upadhi. Pot is upadhi. Understand? Pot is upadhi. Room is upadhi. Associated. Isn't it? So the form and name associated with space is what? Upadhi. For this space. And space is upahitam. The space associated with Namarupa is upahitam. Understand? The name and form associated with the space is what? Upadhi. Is it clear now? What upahitam? What is upadhi? Like that. Really speaking, from the standpoint of the upadhis, there is difference. Why do you talk about big space and small space? We talk about the bigness of space and smallness of space when these two adjectives are meaningless, because there is no such thing called big space or small space. We compare and we talk about big and small, we talk about the difference in space. Is there really a difference? There's no difference. Why there's no difference? Because pot space is space, total space. Room space is space, isn't it? It's a total space. It's just a space. There's no difference. But there's a seeming difference between pot space and total space, big and small. The difference is from the standpoint of upadhi. So what is born now? Upadhi, birth of the pot, is taken to be the birth of the space. Birth of the room is taken to be the birth of the space, room space. Therefore, this room space or pot space. There is no such a thing called room space or pot space. Then how can you talk about the birth of the room space and birth of the pot space? So the birth of the upadhi is taken to be the birth of the upahitam. Is it clear? Yes. Similarly, consciousness, the chaitanyam, the atma, the all pervasive innermost essence of all the beings, the reality, the consciousness, is ever infinite, isn't it? Infinite. That's why you couldn't say ever. It is infinite. And which is the swarupam, truth of the individual and truth of the whole. Purna adaha purnam idam. Truth of the adaha is what? Same chaitanyam. Truth of the idam is what? Same chaitanyam. One and the same. Ekam abhinnam. One and the same. Is it clear? Where Purnatu Purnam Udachyate means Sopadhika Ishwarat Sopadhikaha Jivaha Udachyate. It means Sopadhika Purna Ishwarat from Ishwarat Sopadhika from the Ishwara. No? Sopadhika Ishwara Purna Ishwara. From the infinite Lord, the Jiva, the infinite, comes into existence. From the infinite Lord, the infinite Jiva comes into existence. Like what? Like the pot space is born out of total space. Purnat Purnamudachyate. Next sentence. Purnasya Purnamadaya. Purnasya here means Sopadhika Jivasya. The next thing you have to say what now? You have to say which Purna should be taken as what you should know. Isn't it? So Purnat means Purna Sopadhika Ishwarat. Purna Udachyate means Purna Sopadhika Jivaha Udachyate. The Jiva comes into existence. And Purnasya Purnam Adaya. There Purnasya means what? Purna Jivasya. Sopadhika Jivasya. So when you take this Jiva, the individual, Sopadhikaha Jivaha, okay? Like a pot space. Sopadhikaha Jivaha. The individual Atma with the Upadhi, body mind's complex. Sopadhikaha Jivas. This Purnasya, this Purna Jivasya, Purnam Adaya. If you remove the Atma Chaitanyam. We remove the cognitively, remove the consciousness from Jiva. What is a Jiva? Atma, the consciousness, plus body, mind, sense complex is what? Individual. What is pot space? Space plus pot is equal to pot. Name and form is what? Pot space, isn't it? Pot space plus name and form pot is equal to pot space. Is it clear? Space, given space plus name and form pot is equal to pot space. Similarly, who is Jivaha? Individual. Atma, the consciousness, plus the name and form, the body, mind, sense complex is equal to individual. From this individual, okay, Purnasya, of this individual, who is nothing but Atma, the consciousness, plus body, mind, sense complex, Purnasya, Purnam Adaya. Adaya means taking away. Not physically, you can't take it away, okay. Individually, the intellectually, cognitively, okay, removing, taking away what? Atma, the consciousness. Take the consciousness, okay, cognitively, intellectually, take the consciousness away, Atma away. No, Purnamadaya. What will be there if you remove? When you remove, okay, see, wave, what is a wave? A wave is water plus name and form wave, isn't it? Plus name and form. Water plus name and form is equal to wave. Now, from that wave, you take the water away. Take the water away. What will be there? You will say name and form. isn't A plus B minus A is equal to, we'll say B, no? A plus B minus A is equal to B, will say. But here we have to say what now? Atma plus Upadhi is equal to, Atma plus Upadhi minus Atma is equal to, not Upadhi, zero. Atma, the consciousness, plus the Upadhi, body, mind, sense complex, minus Atma is equal to zero. You know why? It has no independent existence. When I say wave, no, wave is water plus name and form, minus water is equal to zero. Why? The name and form wave has no independent existence. The water is taken away, will there be name and form? Similarly, here also, when you say individual, Atma plus Upadhi, the name and form, is it minus Atma is equal to, we will tend to say what? Upadhi. But there is zero. Know why? The name and form, Upadhi has no independent existence. Hope you got it. It's called, it's a mathematics, huh? Swamiji says, mathematics, banks of Ganga, zero comes, poojyam. Why? Because it's no independent existence. Upadhi has no independent existence. Upahita chaitanyam satyam. Understand? Upahitam is satyam. Upadhi is mithya. We always think, oh, wave, water plus name and form is equal to wave. Water plus name and form is equal to ocean. And this wave is born out of ocean. Is wave born out of ocean? What is born? Is water born out of ocean? No. Ocean is water, wave is water. The water is not, the name and the form, birth of the name, the form, wave, is taken to be the birth of the water. Is it clear? It's called Purnasya Purnamada. Purna Purnam Udachyate. So Purnasya Purnamadaya, if you take away the Purnam, the Chaitanyam, the infinite reality, the truth of the Upadhi, from the Upahitam, you take away Purnasya Purnamadaya, what remains is Purnameva Avasishyate. What remains is only Purnam. What remains then afterwards? Afterwards, what is there? I take away the Upahita Chaitanyam, the body mind complex. What is there now? What continues to be there is only Chaitanyam. Consciousness alone is. The Upadhis resolve in the Upahitam. Is it clear? What remains is Chaitanyam only. Purnam eva avasishyate. What finally remains is only Purnam. You count the number of all the waves, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All the number, you count, all will resolve along with the waves. Number will resolve in waves. Because the waves lose their countability. They do not have countability. Non-countable. Because they can, you can count the waves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 only if they have independent existence. Mm. Take away the water, then count the waves. Mm. Not, they don't even exist. And where is the question of countability? They lose their existence. Isn't it? So, countability is possible only if anything enjoys independent existence. So, anything which does not enjoy independent existence does not have, what now, countability at all. That is why, Purnasya Purnamadaya, okay, take away the Purnam from every jiva. From every wave, take away the water. What is there then? Purnameva avasishyate. Understand? What remains finally is only Purnam. Infinite alone remains. The infinite reality alone is. One was, one appears to be many, one continues to be there. One was, one continues to be there, appearing as many, and one will continue to be there. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. Purnameva avasishyate. So, sopadhika. So, the difference is only from the standpoint of upadhi. For every individual, we say every individual body, mind, sense complex is an upadhi for atma, the consciousness. We call it jiva upadhi, individual upadhi. The total universe is what? Ishvara upadhi. Understand? Upadhi. The standpoint of upadhi is there is a seeming difference. The standpoint of the swarupam, the truth, the upahitam, there is non-difference. From the standpoint of upahitam, there is non-difference. From the standpoint of upadis, there is difference. And upadis are mithya. Because upadi has no independent existence. Therefore, it is non-countable. Purnameva avasishyate. Okay, this is the meaning. Adishankara Bhagavatpada gives in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in his commentary. I'm thinking of dictating even notes for all of you so that you won't make any mistakes. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Yes?
It beautifully accounts for empirical existence. It doesn't say empirical existence doesn't exist, but it's contingent.
Yeah. Now we can ask all the doubts. Now any doubts? Upadhi, upahitam? Yeah. See, this I didn't want to do because Ishavasam is a quite in-depth Upanishad. People think in all particular, from Puja Swamiji doesn't like to teach Ishavasam in the beginning. So, you know, Swamiji always teaches late, very late. people think because it comes in the alphabetical order first, people teach this first. In tradition also they say that, but still, Ishavasana must be taught after teaching many other Upanishads, not in the beginning. Okay? People think it's easy. No. It will make you think a lot. It is only Shanti Mantra. It has many other meanings, but this is the meaning Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada gives in his the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's his commentary. So, I want to tell you one thing. See, Upadihi, I'm not giving as a part of the teaching, because I'm explaining to you. Upadihi. Is the Upadihi in English language is said to be, you know, this adjunct, okay? Some funny thing. Anyways, you have to understand here. See, Upadhiyate anena gunaha iti Upadihi. That by which the attributes are given. Falsely given, not really given, isn't it? It's called Upadhi. That which throws or give its attributes falsely. That by which the attributes are falsely transferred is called Upadhi. The false transferer of its attributes is called Upadhi. Not really. Upadhi is there, okay? Not really. So, generally in tradition, the traditional example given is japa, kusumam and spatikam. Spatikam is a crystal. Suppose even here, last time I think I showed here somewhere in the Peter's house, we have a glass container. You put lots of marbles there, colorful marbles. And the whole, the container looks colorful. The glass is colorless, but the color of the marbles make the container look colorful. So what happened now? So here the container is the container. The marbles become the upadhi for the container. Why? The color of the marbles are falsely transferred to the glass container. Even the orange juice, for that matter, take orange juice in the glass cup. The cup looks orange. Is a cup orange? No. The glass is the pure, it's a clean, crystal clear glass. It looks orange in color. Because this, what is Upadhi here? Upadhi is the juice. The color of the juice. Does the color of the juice really become the color of the glass? No. But it appears to have become orange, isn't it? Appearance. Therefore, the orange has lent its attribute of color, the color, to the glass. Is it really transferred? No, falsely. As though it has given its qualities, isn't it? So the false transference of the attributes. So that which transfers its attributes falsely to something which is closely there, nearest, isn't it? It can't give it to somebody else. It's called Upadhi. So the orange juice becomes the Upadhi for the glass container. It makes it look. So any crystal container also, if anything is inside the crystal container, the color of the content becomes the color of the container. So that which lends its attributes as though falsely to the nearest thing is called Upadhi. And that to which the attributes are falsely transferred to become Upahitam. So here we say, don't say inside, outside and all, okay? That which throws its attributes is Upadhi. Upadhiyate anenaiti. Upadhi. So here, what about the Upahitam then? Now that upon which the attributes are falsely transported to becomes the upahitam. Like pot is the upadhi for the space. Pot space, isn't it? There's no pot space. No, the very name, the space gets the name pot, pot space. Because of what? The upadhi, isn't it? Pot's name is given to pot's, the space also. And the pot is small. Pot has birth. So pot space is born when you say, the birth belongs to what? Pot or the pot space? Birth is something which belonging to the pot is attributed to this space, isn't it? Therefore, pot is upadhi for the space. And pot is dirty. Pot gets dirty. Pot stinks. And pot space also stinks, isn't it? Pot space doesn't stink. Pot space doesn't stink actually. But the stink of the pot is taken to be a stink of the pot. Don't go there, that space stinks. Hey, that space doesn't stink. The pot which is kept in the space stinks. It's called what? It's called upadhi, means that which falsely transfers its attributes. Upadhi. It's in English they say limiting adjunct. The limitations of this, you know, object are thrown, become the limitations, seen, looked upon as the limitations of the other thing. It was called limiting adjunct. I don't know, English word is not okay. Upadhi, better understand the word upadhi as upadhi. Is it clear? Now we say the physical body is an upadhi. Sense organs are upadhis. Mind is an upadhi. Intellect is an upadhi. Your memory also is upadhi. Your physiological functions are upadhi. Whole body, mind, sense complex becomes upadhi. So many upadhis. Understand now? Or one atma, the chaitanya. So limitation, the body has limitations, mind has limitations, sense organs has limitations, intellect has its own limitations. All the limitations are superimposed upon the Atma, the Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is free from all attributes, all limitations. Then you compare. And the comparison comes only when you attribute. Then pot space, room space. Then you say small and big. So the limitations, or we can say all the attributes of the body, mind, is complex, superimposed upon I, the Atma. Then you say what? I am fat, you are thin. Essentially, both are one and the same, neither fat nor thin. Upadhi is fat and thin, isn't it? Thin upadhi, fat upadhi. Short upadhi, tall upadhi. Intelligent upadhi, dead upadhi. Isn't it? It's all superimposed. Therefore, it's called upadhis. And upahitam is what? Chaitanyam. And upadhi has birth. Upadhi undergoes all sixfold modifications. Now, mind also has no problems. All the impurities such as kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. All upadhi dharmaha. Upadhi dharmaha means attributes, the nature, the limitations of the upadhi, attributes of upadhi are taken to be the attributes of the upahita chaitanyam. Understand? So, but this chaitanyam associated with the upadhi is said to be what? Sopadhikaha. Sopadhikam chaitanyam. Okay, sopadhikaha means what? The jivaha. Jivaha is what? The atma associated with the given individual body, mind, sense complex is what? Sopadhikaha jivaha. Associated with upadhi. ended with the upadhi. It's called sopadhikaha. Now you see, Lord, what is Lord again? Ishwara is also sopadhika, the whole universe. Atma with the universe is what? Amarupa prapancha is what? Sopadhika Ishwaraha, the Lord. So the lordship or individuality or the overlordship, the difference also now say, oh, I am a small individual, Lord the whole big almighty Lord. I am little knowing individual, all knowing Lord. Isn't from the standpoint, difference is where? Like between pot space and room space. Is there a difference? The space is one and the same. There is no difference. But from the standpoint of upadhis, there is difference, isn't it? Pot and room. Similarly here, the whole upadhi, the entire, isn't it? Upadhi, universe upadhi. And the individual body, mind, and soul, upadhi. Upadhis are different. So, difference is between the upadhis. The standpoint of the surupam, there is no difference. The standpoint of upahita, better learn this word. Upahita chaitanyam bedaha nasti. From the standpoint of upadhis, there is difference. Got it? Say now upadhihi. Upahitam. Upahita chaitanyam. Upadhihi. Upadhayaha. Sopadhikaha. Jivaha. Sopadhikaha. Ishwaraha. Okay, from the total, the individual has come into existence. Correct? What has come into existence now? Only upadhi comes into existence. Upadhi goes. What does upahitam does not come, does not go. In upahitam, upadhis come and go. Understand? The upadhis are all mithya. That means if we remove the upahitam from the upadhi, what remains is only upahitam. Correct. You remove the upahitam from the upadhi, we will think upahitam will be there, isn't it? Upadhi will be there. No. You remove the upahitam from the upadhi, upahitam alone will be there. Is it clear? It means upadhi is not there. That's what I want to say. See, with the upadhi, upahitam is there. Without upadhi also, upahitam continues to be there. Is it clear? Upahitam, upadhihi. That's what I want to understand. So this what, here when you say purna, this purnamadav, purnamidam, you know, there, the adaha, idam. These two are what now? Ishwaraha, jivaha. The total and the individual. That is infinite, this is infinite. That is infinite, this is infinite. Means what? The entire universe is what? The Ishvara is infinite. The individual jiva is also infinite. How can there be two infinites? No. Infinites are not two. Infinite is one and the same indivisible reality, the consciousness, Brahma. Here, that the difference is only from the standpoint of the upadhis, not from the standpoint of upahitam. Therefore, the truth of the Ishvara, obtaining in the Ishvara upadhi, and the jiva, obtaining in this jiva upadhi, is swarupam, is one and the same. Therefore, this is infinite, that is infinite. Purnamadaha, purnamidam. And purnat purnam udachyate. Therefore, this sopadikaha purna jivaha, sopadikat purna ishwarat udachyate. You have to say that. Sopadikaha purna jivaha, sopadika purna ishwarat udachyate. From Ishvara, the sopadika, okay, from Ishvara, the Lord, who is infinite, comes into existence this jiva who is infinite. Which means there is no real coming into existence. Understand? It's as though. So that's why I give example, like the pot space coming into existence from total space. Then purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate. If you take the upahita chaitanyam from the upadhi, what remains is only upahita chaitanyam. Because upadhi will disappear. Upadhi will resolve in upahitam. Is it clear? Now I know the words upahitam and upadhi. Purnameva avasishyate. Okay, go for a tea break now.